Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, the coach at Beginner Runner Village, with episode number 18, What Happens When You Can't Run? Welcome to the podcast for beginner runners. Whether you have yet to run your first quarter mile or you've completed a couple of 5Ks but done so mostly walking, with this podcast, I hope to provide you with the information you need to make your journey from walking to running more fun and more successful, completely successful. Today, I want to discuss an issue that's been coming up regularly in my Walk to Run program member group. Members of that program get a weekly schedule that prescribes stretches, strengthening exercises appropriate to beginner level runners, and of course, walk to run workouts. They receive a schedule that tells them exactly what to do every day. Sometimes members of that program miss whole weeks of workouts. One missed a couple of weeks due to weather, being not just cold, but downright unsafe due to snow and sleet. Another missed a week due to illness, and another due to pulling double shifts at his job for 2 weeks because a fellow employee was ill, and yet another injured her hamstring doing household chores. All these people were upset because of the missed time, and that is perfectly normal. My message here is that one of the most difficult issues for all runners of all levels is maintaining the right mental state regarding their running when they can't be running for one of these reasons. First, let's talk about guilt. It's typical for people to feel guilty when they miss a workout, and even more so when they miss several workouts. This is because there have been situations in all our lives when we skipped out on something we didn't want to do because we didn't want to do it. Let's say you're remembering when you were 12 years old and your teacher assigned homework every night, and sometimes you just didn't do it. And when you didn't do it, it was because you didn't want to do it. Or maybe you remember the time you had a desk job and you were supposed to file certain papers at the end of every day, and very often, because you hated that tedious task, you'd pretend you just didn't see them because you didn't want to. Or you remember your mom telling you to clean your room before you went out, and you almost never did. Those instances were not like this. And the distinction is critical. Never feel guilt if the situation is beyond your control. If you are ill, if you have to work overtime, if you have an injury, or if the weather makes it unsafe, these events are out of your control. You've got to think about this. You have got to devote several minutes, or it may only require several seconds, to analyzing whether the situation is really out of control. In each of these cases, it is, but there will be times where there's a gray area. Maybe you do have to work overtime, but it's only an hour, and you still have plenty of time to train. If you find yourself watching TV for an hour in the evening, then you know you did have time to train. In that case, of course, if you don't do your workout, then you are using the overtime as an excuse. So, do spend a few minutes or a few seconds determining in such cases whether you are really avoiding your workout, which is a whole different issue, or whether you really can't do it. If you really don't have time, or if you're ill or injured, then do not spend even 1 minute feeling guilty. Let it go. If, in fact, you are choosing not to do it, or you realize you are using that as an excuse, you have to make a decision. Maybe you really don't want to become a runner. Think about that. If you do really want to become a runner, then you have to get out there and do it every single day. But if you can't do it, if something else is stopping you that's beyond your control, you are not guilty of anything. The second issue is frustration. I talk about this a lot with my beginner runners. One thing that will help to motivate you is to focus on what you've accomplished so far. If you're on week 4 of the program, you have the positive reinforcement of knowing you've already completed 3 weeks, and that feels great. If you're on week 10, you've got 9 weeks behind you, and that feels that much better. So, when you're excited about your progress, it's painful to have something which is out of your control take you out of training for a week or even more. Here's what you must, as a new runner, keep in mind. Missing weeks of training due to factors beyond your control happens to all runners. In a way, it's far harder for more advanced runners because they have weeks, months, maybe even years invested in their running. That's a lot of momentum, and it's part of what keeps them going. They've been doing it so long that it's ingrained in every day of their lives. It's part of their lives. It's part of who they are. These people will really have a hard time coping with a sudden unplanned and unwanted hiatus. On the other hand, it's easier for their brains to understand that they will get back to running because they have such a well-established track record already. For a beginner runner, though, that track record is much less established. And for that reason, I think it's easier to feel much more stress, much more worry. It's kind of like when you're on a diet and you're doing great. You've been eating according to your plan for a couple of weeks and you've lost a few pounds, but then comes some event. Let's say it's your anniversary or Valentine's Day. You, of course, want to make this a special occasion, which often means you want to go out to dinner. And you decide you will splurge just a little bit, just this one time. After all, every nutritional guru tells you that no one expects you to be perfect all the time. That's not realistic. But then you realize you need to go to your grandson's birthday party. It's a cookout with hamburgers, chips, coleslaw, potato salad, baked beans, birthday cake, really most of it completely off limits from your diet. And that is tomorrow. Really, if you say to your daughter, "No, thank you," she'll be concerned, right? And she won't have as much fun if she sees you sitting there not eating and she knows you want to eat. Think about that. You don't want her to not have as much fun. So you really feel like you should eat. And it's hard to eat just a little bit of that stuff that you shouldn't eat. It's hard not to just let go and say, okay, this meal, after this meal, I'll be good again. So you have at least a small plate of food. By the end of the day, your brain says, well, what's one more day of going off your diet? And that one day turns into two and then three, and the new and improved diet is all but forgotten. This is so common, and since virtually everyone has experienced it, they all transfer that attitude, that whole idea, to running. If they have to miss a week or so of running, they worry that it will turn into more weeks of not running because they will have lost their momentum. This is all understandable, completely understandable. The way you need to look at it is that part of becoming a runner is realizing that you will have to navigate these tough patches when you have to miss training. Honestly, experiencing an injury that requires you to miss training time is much harder on you mentally than physically because you lose your momentum and start to worry that you won't get it back. This is much more of a problem for the new runner. So, this is what you must do. You must consider this part of your training, learning to cope with these things. Think of it as your mental conditioning. No matter how long you run, you will regularly have to endure times when you cannot run. And you might as well get used to it. Learn to cope. Even expect these things to interrupt your running training once in a while. Try not to get too preoccupied with it. When you look at the big picture of your whole running career, which is likely to be many years long, you will forget the weeks you missed, whatever the reason. It's human nature. You'll remember your best running experiences, but things like missing a few days or even a couple of weeks of training will be forgotten. What you will remember is how you felt when you crossed the finish line of that first 5K, that first 10K, and that first half marathon. And that is your goal. That is your motivation. That and all it took to get there, like getting through the weeks when you can't run for whatever reason, will be what defines you as a person. And that's awesome. You are awesome. Never, ever let running add stress to your life. That kind of defeats the purpose. You must learn to accept today, whatever it brings. And if it's not what you'd hoped, focus your sights on tomorrow. It will be a new day with infinite possibilities. If you're injured and must miss a week or so from training, then you may have to just look to next month. But next month will arrive. You know it will, and it will offer you 4 new weeks. In another podcast in the near future, I'll talk about what to do if you can't run due to injury. I mean physically, what to do to maintain your fitness level when you can't run. Most important for new runners is to remember that learning to cope when something out of your control derails your training for a couple of weeks is actually an integral part of running because it will happen every once in a while throughout your entire running career. When I look back over my running career, I remember that I missed a whole year one time because of an injury to my foot. I remember when I had two stress fractures, neither one caused by running, by the way, and for the first one, I had to miss about 9 weeks. For the second one, which occurred only 9 months later, no, 6 months later, I had to miss even longer. And then I broke my arm and had to miss some time because of that. And then many times because of illnesses of my parents, hospitalizations, and their surgeries, I've missed weeks at a time. The first time it happens and you return to training the next week, you will have accomplished much more than you think. You will have persevered through your forced time off and returned. Every time I was forced to take time off and returned, it cemented me as a runner, that whole idea in my mind, that whole ingrained part of running, that it's part of who I am and it will never be left out of my life voluntarily. It'll happen to you that way too. It'll happen again, maybe not for months, but sometimes it happens after only a few weeks. It's really hard in such times not to get discouraged. But the harder it is, for whatever reason, such as having your training repeatedly interrupted by life events, which is what's happened to me, the more you're learning and the more you're providing to yourself that you are a runner. Every time you come back, you're proving your tenacity. That is at least as important as the training itself. You'll have the mental satisfaction of having overcome that obstacle of missing training. That's good for your brain. It's good for who you are. It's good for the people around you. They'll start to have more and more respect when they see that there is something that you love, something that you're committed to, that sometimes you have to miss, but that you always go back. You always go back and pick up where you left off. And sometimes, and this often happens with new runners, you have to backtrack. I've had runners in my beginner runner program that will say, I keep getting interrupted. Maybe every so often they have a lot of overtime. And they say, I've had people say, I'm on week 3 for the third time because I keep having to go back and repeat it. You know what? There is nothing wrong with that. The important thing is to get back to it. And when you get back, depending on how long you've been away from it, you start back where you need to start back. And then each week build from that. You have to accept things the way they are. Experienced runners, the very most experienced veteran runners, will always tell you that running is 90% mental. This is completely true. And if you've been even running only a few weeks, you've probably already discovered that. And it applies to new runners every bit as much as it applies to marathoners. So from the very beginning, when your training gets interrupted, think of it as a part of training, a part of training your mind, which is the biggest part of running of all. That's all for today. I hope you'll visit the Beginner Runner Village website and join the program. Then hop over to the Facebook group for that program and request to join that. It's great to exchange running stories, ask questions, and enjoy the camaraderie. If you have questions or suggestions of topics you'd like me to cover in this podcast, please send them to deb@mojoforrunning.com. One more thing. If you would like me to come and speak to your group, I love to do that. My favorite speaking topic is how anyone can become a runner. I'd love to talk to your group. Today's quote is a Japanese proverb. Fall down 7 times, get up 8.